Great, thank you. Good morning, everyone. It's Tuesday, the 26th of July, 2022, and this is the Local Government of the Future Subcommittee of the Advisory Commission on Intergovernmental Relations, and I'm Brendan Sharkey, the chair of the ACIR, and we're joined by the unofficial vice chair, which is John Filchek, still waiting formal appointment, I guess, right? And others from the group. So good to see everyone this morning. On our agenda, we typically have just a review of the last subcommittee notes and draft of the full ACIR meeting. If anybody has any thoughts or comments on those, we can have that conversation, but I'm not seeing anyone jumping forward with those thoughts, but thanks to Bruce for putting that together. So we kind of wanted to jump right in, I think, to a couple of the topics that we had identified for the subcommittee to review it and kind of formally got into that at our last full ACIR meeting. The first thing on item three in our agenda is the new reporting requirements under Public Act 22-118, which I had not read or was aware of at the time, but I looked at them again now as part of in preparation for this morning's meeting. But I don't know if anyone has any comments or thoughts on those as far as new reporting requirements that have been imposed by our friends at the legislature. Yeah, Matt.
Thank you. Matt Hart, Capital Region Council of Governments. I hadn't tracked this item either, and I was wondering if anyone could really speak to the intent and how this legislation came about. I guess that's one question. And then secondly, do we know if OPM is going to provide any type of a form for municipalities to use, just providing them with a little bit more instruction? Otherwise, I imagine the submissions will vary greatly across the state in terms of format, et cetera.
Yeah, does anybody have any insight as to where this came from and why? or what OPM intends to do with it? I'm a little flummoxed myself. Oh, Bruce, I'm sorry. Yeah.
I can't really speak to the intent, although I've heard different things about that, but OPM had started looking at it, which was why I thought it was a good idea to bring it to the ACIR, because of the ACIR's interest in municipal reporting that goes into a dusty document on a shelf somewhere. This seemed very susceptible to that kind of fate if OPM did the least effort kind of form, and we could compile a lot of responses. Martin Heft and I have been reaching out to actually more than just the two of us, also Eric Lindquist of my program, have been reaching out to other agencies and others trying to get a sense of what they think could be beneficial here, because as Matt Hart mentioned, if you just throw out an open request to the municipalities and utilities saying, hey, tell us what you do, even if they all do the same thing, you're going to get 169 different responses and might not be able to match them all up. So it looked like a good test case for whatever the ACIR might want to do with this kind of thing. So primarily, it's on the agenda to let you know this thing is underway. OPM is looking into it. And there is time to do a good job of it. And whatever the ACIR would like to do with the OPM portion of it, we added, what is it, section 461? It's OPM's piece is section 462. Section 461, I believe it is the DOT side of it that John Filczak recommended be added. And we're just looking for input and also to toss it out for ACIR discussion or consideration.
Yeah. Does anybody have any thought as to, and I must admit, I didn't go back into the committee background on this, but did that whole thing about the reporting on road disturbance for utility, did that all come from out of concern for the fine that was imposed on Eversource for misleading homeowners about gas extensions, where they had to pay a pretty big settlement to Pura over or fine to Pura over falsely marketing their gas line services to residential consumers by telling them that your road is only going to be you've only got a certain window within which to ask for service to your home because the town's going to have a moratorium on new disturbances of the roads. Do folks know what I'm talking about?
There's actually a docket right now, and we submitted comments. I think it was the deadline was June on Dig Once.
Yeah.
And I.
You went mute.
Oh, sorry about that.
Yeah.
Just trying to coordinate better. And I think that's part of the advance notice because I think, the utilities are getting slammed. They're like, well, they didn't tell us that they were doing this at this time. So I think it's trying to alleviate some of that pressure.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Because I just read last week that Eversource just paid a big fine for misleading consumers.
Yeah, I think that's a slightly different issue. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I don't know if anybody else had any other insight into the origins of this, but as Bruce is saying, it fits, into precisely one of the topics that we've taken on, which is the, review of reporting requirements at the local level and what works and what doesn't. I like Bruce's thought about perhaps using it as a case study how to and how not to impose these kinds of mandates at the local level. Which is, I think, the next, topic that we should be talking about a little bit in terms of the scope of work on that. I don't know, John, did you have a thought on that?
Yeah. When I looked at, when Bruce brought it up, it was sort of new to me, then I noticed that the section before dealt with DOT and Town Aid Road, which is a big line item, for towns, something that, we all protect pretty solidly. I know at least I can say in my region, it's used 16 different ways with different levels of sophistication. So it's a large investment each budget cycle. And I can't speak for towns outside of my region, but, some apply to the state-of-the-art, recommendations that come out of UConn and other spots. Others just, how far can I put 2 inches of blacktop on a dirt, on a former dirt road, but doesn't have drainage. So to a large degree, Town Aid Road in some places is good money after bad and that one kind of intrigued me that that's a large investment that should be paying better dividends. We should be getting a better return on our investment.
Yeah.
perhaps there's opportunities there. The Lincoln, the T1 Center, the Transportation Institute at UConn, and their guidance that probably the majority of towns take. But are they applying best practices or are they not? That would be something that OPM should be recording. That just some basic stuff. Because we're talking about millions of dollars.
Yeah, right. Francis?
Yeah, thanks, Brendan. I agree with John. And what's interesting to me, as I brought this point up again, not to beat a dead horse, but this is state money that is probably not being used to leverage federal grants. So I think enhanced reporting about Town Aid Road could help us see how much of that money actually could be used as a match.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, Matt, did you?
Yeah, thank you. Another point, I wanted to thank Bruce for raising this, bringing it to our attention. And then just reading the fiscal note, the fiscal note states that the reporting requirements don't have any fiscal impact.
Yeah, I saw that.
So let's assume that's accurate, but does have a resource impact, right? This is going to take staff time to put together, et cetera. And I don't know if we've ever talked about commenting to that effect or approaching OFA in terms of, how they prepare their fiscal notes and maybe the importance of highlighting other municipal resources that may be required beyond something that's going to have a direct monetary cost.
Right. Yeah, definitely. Well, I kind of see that as one of the outcomes of the study that we've identified for ourselves, which is to look at these mandated reporting requirements to and be able then to make recommendations about, that would be one of them. It sounds like, not only do some of these things are they unnecessary and unused, but at the same time, they should be looked at by OFA as more of a drain on resources than they're currently described as, in the fiscal notes that are produced. So that seems to me like a natural, recommendation that we might want to add to a final report. I do kind of want to see if we can regroup a bit on the question of what's the scope of work on this in terms of, and who's going to do that, frankly, in terms of identifying those reporting requirements themselves and how we want to try to group this, figure it out, and be able to produce a report. But before we do that, I know Margaret had her hand up too.
Yeah, I was just going to agree with you that the cost to do any number of things that they casually ask for can actually gum up the whole works of getting anything done.
Sure, yeah. Sure, right. John, you had a fill check?
I was just going to, we talked to OFA a year or two ago, and, rightfully, the situation they're in, they're acting, they have to turn these reports around really fast, but it appears that, they're calling two or three of their contacts in the with municipalities and saying, hey, well, is this a big deal or not? And that's the report. So,
right.
Clearly, depending on the size of the municipality, and its sophistication and its resources, that you're going to get a variety of impacts.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. So how do we want to proceed in terms of that particular, we've got a few different things that we're talking about at the subcommittee level that we want to review. How do we want to proceed with regard to this topic of reporting requirements at the local level? What's a scope that we want to try to develop? Jim?
In the distant past, how this worked is that we would identify what it is that we wanted to to find out and the work, lay out the work plan, and that would be assigned to OPM, and OPM would do the work. That's pretty simple. And that's how it should be. So, this commission does not have the capacity amongst ourselves, I believe, to do the work required. It's just not going to happen. It's not going to be done. I mean, I'm not trying to discourage anybody from wanting to do this if they want to, but typically that's how it worked when it was effective in the past. That's how this was done. It was assigned to OPM. Now OPM in the past, in the distant past, if they could not do the work themselves, they farmed it out. But they oversaw the management of how the work was accomplished.
That's interesting, Jim. That's a good, thank you for offering that, because I think for those of us who are more recent additions to ACIR, you know, it's that perspective is kind of lost. You know, we've always kind of viewed ourselves as the, you know, with Bruce's help, kind of, you know, handling the, you know, the issues that we deal with as far as being an advisory commission, we also recognize that we're limited in terms of our capacity, and therefore kind of give up on it, or, you know, or don't take it on. I didn't realize that. I didn't realize that was oftentimes a solution, which is our that we had the ability to ask OPM to do the staffing. But of course now OPM doesn't have the staffing typically to do what they used to do either. But since Martin has turned his camera off, I think it's perfectly suitable for us to ask Martin to take this on.
Sure.
All those in favor of that? Yep. Okay, good. So Martin, get on that, all right? Bruce turned his camera off. Matt, I'm sorry, you had your hand up.
Well, just a suggestion, and I believe I missed the earlier conversation on this, so I could be off base. But with respect to scope, I would suggest we try to do a little bit of an analysis to get our arms around the level of resources that are required to comply with these reporting requirements. You know, maybe we could do that through some type of sampling, because there are any number of state agencies that are requesting reporting from our municipalities. But just trying to get our arms around the resources required to comply, and then maybe a small number of recommendations in terms of how the system overall could be improved in terms of like a standard format, digitization, et cetera. So that's my suggestion with respect to scope.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I know Martin has, at our last meeting, you know, gave us the references that OPM currently has available as to reports that they do collect and receive. So without jumping, you know, and committing ourselves too far, you know, to Jim's point, without committing ourselves too far into this using our limited resources, it occurs to me that maybe we could do something relatively simple, which would be analogous to the survey that we did last year regarding remote meetings, and Bruce can help me with this a little bit, but, you know, we did that survey software, that, you know, asked kind of open-ended questions and solicited, responses back from, folks to whom we submitted this, and anybody interested could reply and respond. That we could do that maybe on a more limited basis. Although, you know, given the number of reports that are required currently, I don't know. I'm thinking out loud here, but you know, maybe the survey could be, you know, listing the, you know, these are all the survey, all the requirements and reporting that are required by statute. But here are, you know, a sampling of those. What's, you know, how much does it take for you to do? And then go back to the agencies and ask, you know, are you doing anything with this? And maybe we need to take another look at whether some of these things should be scrubbed regularly and removed. And that could be a recommendation. I don't know. I'm thinking out loud on that, but I don't know if anybody else has any thoughts on that.
I mean, I thought that the approach for the survey gave us a lot of good information to build a set of recommendations from. So I would favor that.
Yeah. Yeah. It required a lot of effort to assemble the responses in some kind of a readable format, which was essentially a weekend that I spent one day last fall to kind of put all that together in some kind of a, but you know, it's doable. We can do it.
I would also be curious if we can locate the proponent of that amendment to maybe meet with this group to say, you know, why did they do it? And then I guess the other question would be to Martin would be, you know, do they have the capacity to do anything with it?
Yeah.
It's, you know, because
yeah, as a case study,
to collect something for some reason and it's going somewhere, but can they do anything with it once it gets there?
Right. Right.
You know, I know in my old agency, we collected a lot of stuff that went into bankers' boxes and, you know, and piled up in a room.
Right.
But it was required and, you know.
And so you're saying maybe do a case study with a recently passed mandate, reporting mandate.
Well, if we're going to put a new mandate on, you know, you're going to have, it has to be for some purpose of value. And if it's, if the receiver of the information doesn't have necessarily the capacity to use it, garbage in, garbage out.
Yeah, right. Okay, any other thoughts on that? On that topic in particular that we've assigned? If not, Bruce, maybe you and I can connect on putting that kind of taking the list and figuring out how to assimilate that into some kind of a survey format. I don't know. You and I have to think a little creatively, I guess.
Yeah, well, I just want to say we'll have to discuss it and try to track down the proponent in the legislature, because the Public Act, that section says what it says. The municipal CEO must send a letter, not the municipal CEO must fill out a usable survey. So if we can discuss it with whoever is behind it, we may be able to get permission, you know, get a little bit of leeway to try to improve it. And the other aspect of it is to use the powers of individual ACIR members to maybe direct us to people who can advise on those questions to ask in the survey to help frame this to get the most beneficial information possible.
Right.
You know, I'll point out that the one that's assigned to OPM, which is the second section, is a one-time thing. Maybe there's a value in doing it more than one time. It's not obvious to me, but the other one is an annual thing, and that one definitely is worth, you know, making whatever changes are necessary to make it productive and with the least burden possible in the future.
Right. Right. Well, Matt volunteered himself, which is always a mistake. Yeah, Bruce, maybe we can set something up to kind of frame that, you know, and do that offline, and so we can maybe pull something together and bring it to the group at the next meeting, the full meeting of ACIR, and get any other thoughts on it before we then launch it, and see what comes back. So if that makes sense to folks, maybe we'll do that. Martin, yeah.
Good morning, everyone, and apologies for jumping in late here, so I didn't hear the
okay, you're already
part of the conversation, everything. All I know good. You assigned me everything, you know, to do. Yeah.
That's what happens.
Yep. So just, you know, a couple of notes on this. You know, I know, you know, Bruce and I have, you know, talked, and I actually have an internal meeting with my staff later today, you know, regarding this, you know, for this requirement for the utility reporting. Is, you know, I have reached out to Senator Fanfara. I have not heard back from him yet on that, and his staff, you know, regarding this, you know, why they put it as letter format in here, you know, in this day of age, who knows, you know, on it. I'm less worried about, you know, interpretation of that as, you know, reporting we're trying to make it. I've already been in touch with cost, you know, because they inquired about, you know, any guidance for reporting and everything, you know, in that. And to, you know, find out from the senator, you know, kind of what the intent is of all this information, obviously, so we can make sure to provide them with the, you know, full report, you know, any, you know, input, you know, ACIR, you know, has, you know, obviously we're more than happy to, you know, relay that back through and everything else. But obviously this is something the OPM has to do, you know, for compliance and everything else. And we know that a lot of, as I know, I jumped in when John was speaking, you know, it's kind of, you know, well, is this going to be another report that just sits on the shelf someplace? Because what's the real purpose of this and, you know, the collection of data and everything else? So, you know, I appreciate ACIR looking into the overall data collection type thing, but I personally wouldn't want to see ACIR getting into any particulars, you know, of, you know, dwelling down into the official reporting pieces of it and everything, because in all honesty, it's not ACIR's role in the legislation that's passed, you know, on this one anyways, or the DOT one. You know, there's agencies that have to do it, but if there's ways of, you know, assisting, you know, in any sense, I think that's the role for ACIR.
Yeah, I think the intent here is more to take a step back and, you know, I think the original intent was to take a step back and look at all the things that our towns and boards of ed are required to report on. And, if, you know, try to get a sense of how much of that universe is relevant, and if the answer is, you know, 30%, not 100%, but 30%, you know, then how do we go about scrubbing that, those kinds of mandates that get imposed on boards and towns to report, and or maybe, I mean, I was always concerned about mandates generally, and there is, you know, a mechanism, obviously, in the legislature to evaluate whether mandates are being imposed on cities and towns before a vote gets taken. But, you know, really maybe make, I think the intent of the subcommittee's review was to, you know, first get a general read as to how much of this stuff is sitting on a shelf versus actually utilized for policy purposes or other relevant purposes. And then if it's not a high percentage, then, you know, what are we doing? And how can we prevent those things from being and time being wasted using? And then I think John's point was to use this Public Act 22-118, you know, or well, I guess it's sections, whatever it is, 461 and 462, as maybe a case study on how did this get arrived? You know, what was OFA's process in terms of evaluating that this is no impact on anybody? And is it actually going to be utilized, or is it something that, you know, a legislator thought it was a great idea to do a report on without really checking with the department or with someone else? So not necessarily drilling into, you know, roles and responsibilities of the individuals responsible for doing it, but rather more, you know, a 10,000 foot level view as to how these things happen in the first place.
Perfect. No, that's great. Thanks, Brian. I appreciate that.
Sure. Yeah. All right. Well, so Bruce, that's our next task on that front to maybe Matt can participate and anybody else who's interested to, you know, kick it around and see how we could do a survey that would be relevant for folks. So the other assignment that we've given to the ACIR subcommittee is the LGF subcommittee is this question of maximizing federal funding. And I know Francis is the champion of that one, given that he's got some staffing, some intern staffing anyway, that's helping him out on that. I don't know, Francis, do you, what are your thoughts on that at this point? If any.
Oh, thanks, Brandon. Sorry. Struggling to unmute. Yeah, we will have a presentation, I think, next month regarding best practices or our findings about grant writing across the country, how it's institutionalized, what the framework is. With regard to the other aspects of maximizing federal funding, I don't have the resources to work on that right now, but, you know, we can talk about it.
Yeah. Okay. Fabulous. That's great. Yeah. Why don't we, John?
One issue that I raised with the other COG directors the other day, and some feel that is covered, I'm not quite sure, but in many of the infrastructure grants that are coming down now federally, it will talk about metropolitan planning organizations, towns, cities, tribes, and then it has this sort of catch-all. Other units of local government. So what is a COG? And that, you know, that was my question. There's an old ruling from when Senator Blumenthal was Attorney General that seemed to address this, but I'm not reading that. I'm not so sure, and I'm not being an attorney, I'm not sure if we need to do that in statute or be talking to our federal people. But it seems like in terms of maximization of federal dollars, if we have two COGs that are possibly excluded, that's an issue, at least from federal dollars.
Yeah. Okay.
And I did raise the issue with TRS and with the federal highway people in there. You know, the answer I got from the feds was, well, good question. We don't know. So we'll get back to you.
Okay. Well, at least it was honest. Well, on this topic, you know, I'm looking forward to what Francis may be able to offer us based upon what they've looked at in terms of best practices. And then at that point, we can maybe determine what is our next step in terms of how we might want to fit up our own COGs and RESCs to do what is being done elsewhere. Based upon best practices that Francis is finding. So maybe we can, we'll pause on that until we hear more from Francis on that. The other topic, of course, is the question about property tax reform. I know I had promised that I would put together some kind of a summary of the major reports on property taxes that have been done over the course of the last, 10 years or so. I don't have that ready yet. I've been kind of slammed with some other deadlines in my work life, which should be dissipating a little bit with the end of the month. So I do plan on doing that. I reported to the full ACIR earlier in the month that Mark Boughton, the commissioner of DRS, has agreed to work with us on that. So that was helpful. But also out of our last meeting, there was discussion, full ACIR meeting, there was discussion about getting in touch with the Federal Reserve Bank and also the Lincoln Institute using our contacts that CCM actually was producing. And that has actually led to a meeting that is now scheduled, which I believe is August 3rd. And for those who were a little bit more active in that discussion than I was over those over the last week or so, I know Ron Thomas at CCM really helped facilitate that. But John, can you offer some thought on how that was put together and what the topics will be with the Federal Reserve at that meeting in particular?
I'm not aware that this first I've heard of the meeting.
Oh, August 3rd, let's see, was from Ron. I know Lyle was involved in it as well. Bruce, do you have any more on that? Like what the topics were going to be for discussion?
I do not. I will look into it. Ron Thomas had made the contact, and I don't know if he had put some topics in play. I'll follow up with him. And I was waiting until after today's meeting to put together an email to everyone to say when it is scheduled to be.
Yeah, okay. Well, I must admit I had disengaged a little bit because of some other deadlines I've been dealing with, as I said. But Ron was pretty diligent in following up on our last meeting and made those contacts. And I'm just looking back at my emails on that. Lyle was talking about Lincoln Land Institute. And then Ron went ahead and talked to the Federal Reserve Bank for the first week of August. And then some dates were thrown out. And it was determined that August 3rd, which is the Wednesday before our next ACIR meeting, at 1 p.m. was the decided upon. Sorry, I'm getting distracted. So I'm reading through the email. So we had talked about this as a at our last meeting as an opportunity to perhaps dive a little bit deeper again into the property tax reform area, but I was not as directly involved in the scheduling and the planning for that. So, and neither Lyle nor Ron are on with us today. But Rick, do you have a comment on that?
Well, I think I can add a little bit more. I just talked to Ron yesterday about this, and you're right, he's put a fair amount of time and effort into this. I think, you know, at the outset, the idea was to try to have a talk, a larger context, New England-wide, on some of the discussion we've had around property taxes and the way revenues are delivered and revenues are collected and services are delivered. The Boston Fed did a really good job, I think, looking at Connecticut and the way we do public education K through 12 some years ago, And it could be something that we could have a larger discussion with people at the Boston Fed. That could help inform our own work at ACIR, but also put our situation in a larger context. I think that was the original reason, but there, you know, I don't think there's a final agenda put together. Hope I'm right about that. And there could be the opportunity to talk about a couple other issues as well. But I think that's how this all got started.
Yeah, good. Okay. Yeah, that's helpful. Margaret? You're muted, Margaret.
I was just going to add that any kind of stuff with the Fed, when you get through the, I sent my own comments on all, because I followed any number of these property tax commissions over the last 10 years or so. And certainly you'll get some ideas if you, I sent them to Bruce, I think they're not official or anything like that, just my own commentary about what was going on from the first one until the surprise last one. And it was, you might just want to quickly take a look at that, because I think it relates.
Right. Okay. Thank you. Yeah. John, you're muted also.
I think, the Fed report from whatever it was, 2015 or 16, was certainly a terrific document. And I know that the school finance committee in 2019 replicated it and showed a lot of the same results. I have some concern, which I expressed last time, that I think we have the information and the expertise within the state and with the studies to date and with the latest tax incidents report, although it clearly needs a lot more work going forward to be maybe on a par with what's done in Minnesota. But I think we're way past due to get a true structural reform movement going here. And if this thing just, our discussions sort of, I don't want to say deteriorate, but maybe that's the word, into, okay, we'll ask UConn to do a study, we'll ask the Federal Reserve Bank to do a study, and 3 or 4 years from now, we'll have some recommendations, and CCM will put together another committee, and history again repeats itself, which, mm-hmm. you know, there you go. And yeah. A lot of consultants are making a lot of money.
Well, yeah.
You know,
so let me just reset.
And we get nowhere. And, you know, I also am hearing too much undercurrent of, let's talk about, revenue options, like that's the panacea for Connecticut. And that really, that just sort of, get, you know, that that we haven't gotten into that particular topic, but that sort of gets the hackles going on me, being from a rural area. I might have a different view if I was from New Haven or Hartford, but structural reform, comprehensive structural reform, which can't be done in 1 year, but we got to start building the roadmap to get there.
Yeah.
Thanks
for that.
If we go back to, let's hire 3 graduate students and they'll do a couple of papers.
Right. I'm sorry to interrupt you, because I do want, it's important, I think, to nip that in the bud right now, which is that the premise of this is that we're going to work with Mark Boughton, right? Mark Boughton has a vision for that type of structural reform that is based on real life, actual guidance that can be provided to the governor for the governor to adopt and embrace beginning in 2023. He'd like to, assuming the current governor is reelected, he'd like to get started in developing that kind of significant change and restructuring of property tax. And, you know, his own thought is not, you know, clearly not about, you know, having some kind of institute do a study that, you know, for the next couple of years on it. He wants it actually be able to start it in the 2023 legislative session,
mm-hmm.
which means starting it right now and using some resources that he has access to that are immediate and not an academic institute, but actually some people who would work at DRS on loan from Wall Street, essentially, who would actually help craft this. And he would like to work with ACIR as a surrogate, if you will, for local government input as well. So that's what I was reporting to ACIR at the full meeting earlier this month, that I think is very exciting about this. It also is occurring to me that maybe I should also be inviting Mark to the Federal Reserve meeting on August 3rd, just so that we can all be talking to each other. But that's really the emphasis of this. And for Mark and for DRS and ACIR to be working together along with OPM to really put something together for action next year. So,
and can I just say, Brendan, I think the idea of meeting with the Federal Reserve Bank was in service to your vision about how we move forward. Yeah. Not to add months and months more of research, but to try to put this in a larger context in a way that it could help Mark Boughton and the governor and leaders in Connecticut to frame a vision and a way forward.
Yeah, right. Yeah, thanks for that, Rick. Yeah, Matt?
Thank you. Just a couple of follow-ups there. The meeting on August 3rd, is that going to be open to the committee? Or the subcommittee, or is there a smaller group involved there? And then secondly, building on John Filczak's point, have we had a recent presentation or a more fulsome discussion of CCM's recent work on the topic and their primary recommendations, as well as reports from the Thousand Friends and others locally who've done some recent work on topic?
First question, it's open to folks who are interested in participating. I don't think anyone was making, you know, creating any artificial limitations on that, but I think it's not an open meeting. I think it would be, you know, a few folks from ACIR who are interested in and want to participate. So if you're one of those, then I think, you know, we can get that over to Ron and we can sort of set that up. Secondly, yeah, the other study, that was the piece that I kind of took responsibility for, which was to summarize in as concise a way as possible the recommendations from a number of these more, particularly these more recent reports, as well as some of the other longer standing things, as kinds of things that Margaret had assembled, to kind of give a real thumbnail of what those recommendations were. What was the emphasis? You know, was it more revenues? Was it less expenses? Was it more state involvement? You know, those kinds of things, and have that as kind of a concise primer, if you will, on all the different studies that have been done. On how to actually get address the property tax issue. That's been kind of on me to do, which I have not done yet. So
thank you.
Sure. Yeah, Margaret.
Yeah. You know what? Don't worry about it. You don't have to do it because you've got really gotten, if you indeed you have the ear and the staff now, hopefully, from Mark Boughton, I think this one is a winner for us.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I'm so excited to report that at the meeting, you know, because the conversation with Mark was pretty unequivocal. I mean, he really he, and I've talked with him for months about this privately, and, you know, he sees it as a real a mission as commissioner. Mm-hmm. He'd like it to be a legacy kind of thing for Governor Lamont if he is reelected, mm-hmm. That he can embrace and, you know, make as part of his, you know, what he gives to Connecticut. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And the fact that he has some identified some resources available. Yeah. The thing that I was going to do was just more of a, you know, 2 or 3 page summary of what everybody has done and what they are. But yeah, your point well taken, right? DRS has resources.
That's a winner, a real winner.
Yeah. Right. So, I know, Matt has expressed interest in participating in the August 3rd meeting. I would just want to kind of get back with, Ron and Rick, maybe we can set that up too, to kind of pre-meeting with, the Fed so that we kind of know what it is that we're asking of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what kind of input we're hoping to get from them, mm-hmm. as we go forward. And I'll also talk to Mark Boughton about if he would like to participate in that as well. If that makes sense.
Great.
Good. Okay. Yeah. Cause I think this is kind of, I think to Margaret's point, I think this is an ACIR mission, really. I mean, this is one of those things that ACIR was meant to do. You know, and if we can play a role, a significant role in restructuring the property tax in Connecticut, I'm all in. I mean, I think all of us are all in as well. I know it's something Jim's been talking about for a while too, you know, and others. So I'm excited by it. And I think it's a legacy for us as well as for the governor and anybody else. But, good. Are there any other, if we're good on that, let's see, we add on our agenda, the essay, that's right, for Bruce, this was the UGA essay that they requested that we asked for a delay on, right?
That's right. Lyle couldn't be here today. He and I have been chatting about it, and we've taken an outline that he has put together and are hanging some things on it. I wrote up that history a while back that needs to be shortened up a bit, I believe, and he's putting some things there, and then we'll be reaching out to the whole group and seeing if anyone wants to take ownership for other parts of it. And to basically write about what the ACIR has been and what the ACIR is trying to do in the future. And the current time frame is, I believe it's probably on the agenda, which I can't see right now, on I think November 1st for publication in March or April. So anyone on this particular call who's interested, please let me know. And otherwise, we'll be reaching out to the larger group at one of the upcoming meetings.
Great. Okay. Yeah, if folks are interested in, I mean, you know, particularly with regard to some of the legacy stuff, Jim and Margaret have already given us just in this meeting today the examples of some of that legacy knowledge that you guys bring to the discussion. You know, maybe you all can help out with Bruce and Lyle and me in putting that together. Mm-hmm. So I don't mean to volunteer you, but but maybe that's something that would be, I think, very helpful for all of us. But okay, so it seems from our agenda there are a few tasks. One is that with regard to the analysis of reporting requirements, Bruce, you and I and John need to kind of figure out a time, and anybody else is interested, to figure out a time when we can maybe look at how we might craft a survey that could be disseminated to get input, and also make a contact with the author of the section in the bill that's now being had to use that as a case study. Secondly, we have Francis, who's going to get back to us with when they're ready with his intern's analysis of best practices on maximizing federal funds. And then third, working towards that August 3rd meeting with the Fed, I'll be in touch with Mark Boughton, but also want to produce a, that summary that we discussed of other studies and start piecing together the strategy for that legislative approach that Mark Boughton is talking about, and inviting others who may be interested in participating with the Fed. And a pre-meeting, actually, Rick, ahead of that meeting with the Fed, so we know what we're asking them for. So, okay. Great. Anything else? Or any other topics we would like to discuss at this level? All right, folks. Well, we have our work cut out for us, as always. So thank you all for participating. And we'll, for those of you who are not here, we've already volunteered you. So thank you in advance for that help. And our next ACIR meeting is on Friday, the 5th of August. And our next subcommittee is August 23rd. But we also have that Fed thing on the 3rd. So just be aware of that, too. All right. Okay. Great. All right. Thanks, everyone. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, everybody.
All right. Take care. It was a pleasure. Yeah.
Okay.